Welcome back to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. Honda Pro Jason joining us here. We are live, and you know, everybody thinks Honda and EV isn't synonymous, but I think Honda Pro Jason does things and beats to his own drum. So I appreciate you joining us, Honda Pro Jason. What's your experience or your relationship like with EV right out of the gate?
I don't really have any experience with EV, honestly. Like I know about them. I've driven them. I've driven a lot of Honda EVs over in Europe. So I understand, you know, I understand the idea behind them. I understand what everyone's looking at as far as what the enthusiasts want and what the government wants and what the consumers want. I've never owned an EV. In fact, I just had this conversation with someone the other day. I don't know where my nearest charging station is in my house.
Oh, wow.
Like I just don't know where it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there are apps for that, which is good. Right. And everybody talks about the infrastructure and.
Right. But still it goes to show that if I don't know where it is, there's probably other people that don't. I can tell you where the nearest 5 gas stations are. No problem. Right.
Don't you think that's. But okay, so, and I love this because I grew up Honda, let's just call it what it is. I grew up street racing, you know, and they made the movie Fast and Furious about what we were doing, talking about, you know, import drag. That was our hot rod, you know, from Battle of the Imports and Dave Shee to the evolution of Dr. Charles and Skunk Works and the Skunk 2 and like just all these iconic names that have grown from there and really evolved. I mean, even BC came from the Honda world, you know, that's, and BC Moto, look at his. Adaptation, his relationship with EV and how he was like, nope, combustion, small combustion engines. And that's what Honda has really touted. And fun fact, right? Am I correct in saying that Toyota developed variable valve timing, VVTi, prior to VTEC in Honda engines? Is that correct?
That I don't know. I don't know how true that is.
Look it up.
There's a possibility they were first to the market with it. Okay. That doesn't mean they developed it first. It just means their car was first to the market with it.
Like why are you so? The market. Yeah.
You say we. I'm sorry.
It's all good. No, go ahead.
I say that often. I refer to Honda as we just because I feel like I'm part of the Honda community, even though I don't. Just so we're all on the same page, I don't work for Honda. You know, my affiliation with Honda is. I'm a journalist that covers Honda stuff, but I don't work for the company. So I will say we a lot. Just like you have a favorite sports team.
I like golf. So if it's golf or if it's I'm all over the board.
So Honda was the first one to come with a hybrid to America. The Honda Insight was the very first hybrid ever introduced in America. That doesn't mean that we developed the hybrid first. We just came out with it first. Mm-hmm. So the Toyota thing, I don't really know.
Yeah, no, it's just fun fact because I grew up being Big Mike didn't like this. He's like, Honda kid. He was so put off by me calling him a Honda kid. It's a term of endearment. And he's like, we're not kids. We're like, it's never perceived as that. But Honda as a brand, I mean, if you look at it, and they do such a good job of the commercials, Honda from, you know, airplanes to generators to motorcycles to cars and where that cross-references each other and how that marriage of technology, because Honda's really touted themselves, correct me if I'm wrong, just on the small displacement, efficient, you know, because you look at obviously, you know, the big three, they're all about bigger is better, but they're refining it. They're looking at different ways. Ford is multifaceted. Dodge is rethinking their kind of initial approach, but Honda's just kind of silently, no pun intended, you know, creating and generating, you know, because they have some of the quietest generators out there. Some of their own noise. What have you heard? Maybe even, have you heard about this Honda Nissan EV partnership, which would be interesting as well?
That would be interesting. That comes right on the heels of Honda GM's going separate ways. So Honda was supposed to create a car that was a budget build with GM. And my guess is just, they just had two different looks on how they were going to do things, which doesn't surprise me. It's GM and Honda. I don't know how they couldn't see that from the beginning. So they hope that Nissan, being a Japanese company, will more align with what they're looking for. And they could produce some inexpensive EV cars with Nissan, which I'm all for. I'm for either way. You know, people aren't going to buy EVs right now for many different reasons. One's the cost. So you need to bring the cost down first in order for people to buy them. So I think Honda has the right direction, you know, thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at, you know, so and, you know, you look at the good marriages of manufacturers, if it's Toyota and Subaru, right? You know, if it's BMW and Toyota developing the Z4 and the Supra, when it works out, it just works out. And that right. power plant and that Supra is, I mean, my wife has an X6, that turbo six hybrid crazy thing. It's just, I mean, it's throwing all the technology at it.
Yeah.
And again, I love it. You know, you're Honda Pro. And like you said, no affiliation other than covering it. What's your thoughts on something like the Honda Prologue? And here's a vehicle that, you know, gets a tax credit, like you said, infrastructure, retail price anywhere from 48 to 59 MSRP yeah. destination, all that. What's your take on that? The Prologue, how does that fit in the whole line of vehicles?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that Honda just didn't take a GM. A Chevy Blazer EV and just put Honda badges on it. You know, they reconstructed the outside. They make it much more Honda on the inside. So they've really made it as Honda as they could, but still using the technology and the advancements that GM has. You know, it has a GM powertrain, batteries, switchgear, everything is GM minus the body and the interior. So I think for Honda's very first EV here in the US, because it's here and it's out, and we don't really know which direction EVs are going. It seems like, you know, they're being pushed really, really heavy 1 week or 2 weeks. And all of a sudden people are like, yeah, we're going to have to slow down. We're not sure what's going on with them. So I think Honda did a smart idea this way, as they can keep working behind the scenes to come up with their own ideas, their own battery, you know, their own actual complete product that they can produce.
So it is good. You're totally right. Cause you're like, that's that car. Like, that's a sheep in wolf's clothing, you know, kind of the other, you know, it's the other way around. So I got to ask you, you know, what was your first Honda? What Honda bug made you Honda man? You know, which, you know, I'm referencing Spider-Man here, but like which Honda bit you and you're like, I love it.
1987, my parents bought their very first Honda Accord. There's a Honda Accord LXI, brand new, five speed. And this is when, like, you had to follow the trucks to the dealership because they were selling out so quickly. So they literally followed the truck to the dealership. We checked it out. I was completely blown away because I'd never seen anything like it. My dad was a GM guy before this. So it was just like, I was used to all the Chevys and it was everything Cavaliers, everything Chevy had to offer at the time back in the mid to late 80s. And this car was so different, you know, fuel injection. I remember looking at it thinking, you know, I was pulling on the dash and the dash was actually attached to the actual frame of the car, where in Chevys, you could pull the dash off with your fingers, just clips. These had screws and the screws had caps on them. And like the place, it was just insane. It drove great, double wishbone suspension. Everything blew me away. So I just started doing more research. I found out that, you know, this company Honda, who I'd never really heard of before, also did a lot of racing. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So I really got involved with, you know, the racing heritage and their engineering heritage. And their ideas kind of align with what I was thinking a car brand should be. And then in 1994, I bought my very first Honda myself. So that was my family Honda in 87. My first Honda was a 1994 Honda Accord Coupe EXL five speed, green with a beige interior. It was absolutely gorgeous. Funny story.
Like the mallard green. Is that what it's mallard like green. The forest? Or?
That was it. Okay. Yep. It was more like a mallard green. So I went out to test drive the car with my dad. And we ended up buying the car and never telling my mom we bought it. And we brought it home. And my mom, for the very first time ever, didn't talk to my dad for a solid week. She was so angry we bought the car when we were just supposed to go test drive it. So something was cool, something me and my dad always had together, you know. But I owned that car for a couple of years and then started working for Honda as a salesman in 96. And I was there for 20 years.
Oh, you know, like I said, I grew up with Hondas in San Diego and grew up street racing. Mine was an EK Civic hatchback. That was my hot rod, dude. And then, you know, working at Group 5 Motorsports and going to Tokyo Auto Salon in 99. This is like, you know, this is just such an era. And we kind of, metaphorically speaking, chase the dragon and, you know, try to find that high. You know, I'm just going for some dark terms here. But I think overall, it's we live in this good era right now that anything is possible. Like I played golf yesterday with a dude that works at Rivian and talking about Rivians and where that's at and what's going on. He works on the real estate component side of it. But I think there's a new, with the vehicles that are coming out, and you know, you could like love or loathe what Tesla does. Like even my 10-year-old is like, Dad, I got to tell you, I really don't like these Teslas. They crash all the time because of self-driving thing. I was like, Bubba, I don't know where you're getting these stats. But you know what I mean? Nobody talks about good news, but I have friends that love them. They just swear by them. They have two, they have three, you know, like they're trading in their X's for Cybertrucks. But the emotion of Honda is so real, just given just that generation. And I call it the Gran Turismo effect, because there were vehicles in Gran Turismo that we didn't have in the States. So as being, we live here in the United States. Did you live, breathe everything here in the States? Are you California born American born and bred?
Yep.
So that unattainable is cool. So Type R's, Integra Type R's, Civic Type R's, even when you go to Japan, the Odyssey vans that are there compared to what we have, the wagons. Honda feeds off of that emotion. Where do they land right now? I mean, you are Honda Pro. Are you upset with them as a manufacturer? I mean, I'm not talking EV. I'm just talking about, let's just call it is, the Integra. A lot of hype around that, and it fell a little flat for the emotion, playing off of that emotion of that name. And we've seen that with Dodge. If it's Challenger or Charger or even Dodge Dart, they tried to bring back, and it was this little, as you referenced, Cavalier-sized vehicle.
Right.
What's your relationship right now? Are you in a lover's quarrel, or you're like, I love you so much?
No, I'm always going to love the brand. I mean, the brand is my team. And regardless of whether I agree with all their decisions, which I don't all the time, they're still my team. I'm still going to support them. The Integra came out, and the Integra needed more Integra. There wasn't enough Integra in the Integra. And I really, still to this day, even though Honda denies it, I think it was just, they want to use the name. They want to resurrect the name, and they want to come back with, hey, the Integra's back, and bring back the excitement, because, the Integras are selling online, the older ones, for stupid money. And it's on everyone's page, and you go to your feed, and there's all these old school Type R's and Integras selling for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So Acura was like, well, why don't we monetize that? Like, why don't we come back out with the Integra and bring back all the excitement? Unfortunately, I don't think they put enough Integra in it. And case in point, they embossed Integra in the bumpers. That's a great start. But after that, it just kind of fell flat. I did a video where I walked through the brand new Integra. Yeah. There's a hidden Easter egg in the Honda Civic. In the center console of the Honda Civic, when you open up the console, there's a little tray inside. When you turn over the tray, it says the Honda Civic history goes on. And there's a little outline of the original Honda Civic, like Gen 1. It's really cool. It's like shows that Honda really thought about what they were doing. They want to pay homage to this brand and the history of the brand. Great. Everything's cool. I get into the Integra. I look for an Easter egg. And I find the same center console as the Civic. I find the same tray as the Civic. I flip the tray over. It says the Civic history goes on. And that was my face. And I went, Acura, you had the opportunity and you missed it. And you missed it.
That would have been such a Pokemon trading card. Everybody's trading. Center JDM center consoles, mirrors, backseat deletes. That's what it was founded on. And that's just phoning it in, unfortunately. Like, again, I do have a special place for the Honda, the H badge, because I haven't switched my,
I know.
Okay. Well, if nobody knows, by the way, Honda Pro Jason, his Instagram handle, 255,000 followers, on YouTube as well. Looking at this, I'm a sucker for wagons. So dude, Honda 92 Honda Accord wagon, Civic, Waggle van all day, every day. And then I'm seeing here a day ago, first ever Acura Integra based SUV is coming. This thing looks sick. I mean, the TLX, right? Was the TLX wagon?
They had a TLX wagon.
Yeah, that thing was sick. Yeah, and that was kind of their response to the Lexus V-Cross.
I think that the Acura is going to be very similar to the HR-V. It's going to be built off the Integra. So it's going to be an Integra SUV, turbocharged Integra SUV, probably with a hybrid as well. And it's going to be built off the Integra, which means the HR-V is built off the Civic. So if this is built off the Integra, it should probably be an upgraded, luxurious performance HR-V, which in a video I just produced, I saw that same exact car in Europe. They have something called the ZRV, which is essentially an Acura version of the HRV. It's an HRV with a larger engine. They have a hybrid out there, a power liftgate, upgraded stereo, panoramic roof. Like, it's got all the features Acura would have. And I really think that the new ADX is going to be almost that, maybe not exact vehicle, but very similar to that vehicle, which would be super exciting.
Yeah, it gets tough because we, you know, in Europe they don't have trucks, a lot of SUVs. In Japan, right. they have vans and they have K trucks, and right. they don't have big trucks. So wagons are wildly popular there. I mean, I remember, you know, the Jaguar shooting brake kind of concept. I'm like, dude, that wagon's sick. But here it is, it's $80,000. So it's price point motivated. It's solution. You know, like you said, are you petrol? Are you hybrid? Are you EV? This is just part of the conversation of other Honda guys listening to you and saying like, yeah, I agree with Jason. Or, you know, hey, you're right. The manufacturer this. Or I'm excited about them making the statement about their whole Vision Zero, their Zero series, their EVs. And I mean, what cool concepts there, the saloon and the space hub. Yep. That's the big response but that goes back to like, here's your concept, and then it just delineates, and it just does not really translate into a consumer product.
They say that that's going to come out as a consumer product. And they said they had a big meeting in Las Vegas, and while I can't divulge all the information about it, that vehicle
was... Come on, give us the juicy bits, Jason. The people want to know. The people want to know.
And they did say, I believe the date was right around 2026. That some of those vehicles will be manufactured and sold in America. So coming up, you know, the next big thing is going to be the Prologue. It hasn't gone on sale yet. There's a delay of some sort. The cars are sitting at port right now waiting to come in. But regardless, the Prologue's next. Then the next big news is going to be some upgrades for the Odyssey, the Passport, the Trail Sport Passport. And then the Prelude, that's going to be the huge one. Prelude's coming out end of 2025. It's going to be I'm going to tell you it's going to be hybrid. I can't tell you too much more, but it's going to be, it won't be full EV. It'll be hybrid. It'll be a performance-based hybrid. So it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be that technology and, you know, people that are on the kind of cusp, they lean into the hybrid because, you know, Toyota really did define it. Like you said, here's the insight, which, you know, first to market, but here's Toyota, who really is just, you know, holding firm to that 3-cylinder turbo engines. You know, you look at the, you know, the Yaris prior, the Gazoo Racing, the Hyundai Envision, by the way, I was just watching the Goodwood Festival Speed video. Have you seen that? The Hyundai Envision 74. It's just insane. But that's kind of, I say that because it reminds me of kind of the saloon type concept, which I think is cool, but I'm a sucker for a people mover, you know, a wagon. I had a Volkswagen Jetta wagon back in the day. I had a WRX wagon, which is another great car. Let's talk even more compact, Moto Compacto. Yeah. What a cool, again, hat tip to something that was in, you know, came in the Honda City. Am I correct? It came and fit in the trunk.
Originally, the Honda, the original one.
The original one. The OG one.
It came out as an accessory to the Honda City. So the idea was in Japan that parking's so limited, you park 2 or 3 miles away from your business, you take your moto out, you jump on it, start it up, and you go to work. You park it in your office and you do the same thing backwards. So they kind of looked into that again and made it EV, obviously, and made it fold up just like the old one did. It's really unique. It's fun. I own two of them and I love them both.
That's awesome. Why do you love them? Where are you taking it right now?
So one was in California for quite a while. It was being stored. It was going out to a couple events. The other one is my son's. He's an 8-year-old. My son Maximus has one. He loves it. He rides it at all his friends' houses. He goes all over the place with it. What I love about it is it just makes you smile. It's not very fast. It doesn't have like amazing performance. There's no suspension. The wheels are like hard. They don't have air in them. They're these little tiny wheels. But when you ride it, you just smile. It's just what Honda was known for forever. You get in, you're just like, wow, this is just well-engineered, well put together. It just makes me smile when I ride it.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at your feed right here, and yeah. I'm a sucker for Spoon, and you know, all things kind of OG, man. Like, and you have an awesome video of a Moto Compacto wrapped in Spoon livery next to a Civic Type R with the Spoon Riga Masters with you know, the and that just that feeds off of the emotion that we're a fan of, man. Oh gosh, look at this clean EF. I'm just looking at your feed. I went a totally different direction. I had one of the first EKs in San Diego, and then just started putting mesh in the grill. I was like, needs the EG. I put the EG mirrors on it, trying to duplicate that Spoon upper wing, SIR wing. It was a mishmash. Nice. And then it went like Wings West Aggressor, which was not the way of the Buffalo, but it went the way of the Buffalo. But and then I went MB motoring front end because I got into drag racing. But, you know, it's interesting to see how the emotion plays such a major role into it. And just the, you know, like just the VTEC, you know, just that whole, it is visceral. So I think you being a Honda guy, and people always talk about big motors and all that, EV is lacking that noise. So I think your audio, if you could put in when you get your, you know, your zero, right, in that vehicle, you need a VTEC soundtrack in your exhaust note.
It's interesting to see how those things are going to go, because obviously right now everyone's making fun of them, right? They're making fun of the fake exhaust, but manufacturers are still producing it. So is it something that we're going to make fun of now, but then in 5 or 6 years, we're all going to have it? Because I really believe, you know, eventually EVs are going to be here, and they're going to be here in a big way, where all of us that say we're never going to own an EV are going to own an EV. And when we customize them, I think we're going to go back to lighting and audio, you know, like it was before. People were really, the common person was building engines. You know, people like you were always building engines, but most of the people that went to car shows were doing audio and lighting. That was the big deal. And I think with EVs, audio and lighting will come full circle again, because that's what you're going to have to do. You'll do audio and lighting, and the audio and lighting are going to be on a whole nother level. And that's where I think a lot of the shows are going to be at.
Well, it's so cyclical, right? Yeah, it's retro almost. Like, it's just like fashion, right? Fashion trends. My 17-year-old son would kill for my wardrobe when I was in high school, which, you know, graduated in 96. So I'm 45. So just call it what it is. And, you know, back in the day, if it's Toucan Industries and all this, now it's Type S. Type S has a full Formula Drift lighting kit that goes under the car, in the car, all this, the lighting, the cameras, the stuff, you know, and ruined that Tesla EV car group. And I'm sorry, I digress, not just exclusive to Tesla, but all things EV that are, you know, so it is, you bring up a great point there, is maybe with, who was I playing with yesterday? My buddy Corey Burns yesterday, he works at Con Media, and we were talking about, you know, when, because we've seen this cycle of, okay, here's the boomers, they're getting their, you know, their CUDAs, and they're getting their Roadrunners, and they're getting their Mustangs. And then, okay, 80s, what do those cars look like? Okay, now we're starting to get into late model, right? 90s. And that's going to happen 10 years. You know, when we see a mint, you know, I don't think it'll be an Integra Type R, because people already knew that those were going to be a chase card. That's Ken Griffey Jr.'s rookie card, right? That's Jordan's rookie card. You'd already knew that. But Hondas, it might be the cleanest ass Honda EFSI, just in the teal. Or it might be a June bug green. My homie got a clean ass Del Sol with like 30,000 miles on it.
Right.
So those are going to be the weird oddity cars, or a mint CRX HF.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is that? You know,
or it could be a CRV.
Yeah. It could
be something that no one's really expecting to ever do anything. All of a sudden, CRVs with a fold out table. If you got one with a table, that's the one to get. Like, it's and the table still works. It's still in the car, and like, you know, people go in the junkyard trying to find them. Who knows? It'll be something probably like that as well.
What you posted up the Wago van back in March, late March.
Yeah.
What did that Wago van go for? The Beagle, the 4-wheel drive, 6-speed.
No, I should have followed up on that. That was on Bring a Trailer, I believe.
Yeah.
I've only seen one of those in person, and that was in Japan. I've never seen one in the U.S. So I can imagine. I mean, I don't know. Some of those things, though, that me and you might think are amazing, people with money are like, why would I buy that? Like, what's the point?
Oh,
you know,
because it could end up, you know, at you know, here's our boy Nads, right? John Nadeary,
yeah.
Super Street and JDM Wong. And, you know, all those cats are built from this. So now, you know, I know homies, I always reference this. They're buying their old school paintball stuff that they couldn't afford when they were kids. They're buying their old, right? I mean, it's just all, I mean, my gateway, cause I'm a sneakerhead. I just call it what it is. I like shoes. My gateway sneaker was the Andre Agassi Air Tech Challenge 2. And I say that because that just, you know, my brother worked at a shoe store and got me there. I still think that's one of the best shoe designs of all time, from the colorway, it being a mid top when lows are highs. So it was a mid in tennis. And here's this personality that's Andre Agassi and all that. So I talk about this because what you do and what you're kind of curating here is playing off the emotion of people like you and I. And there's a lot of us out there that are, sorry, Big Mike, Honda kids that are now Honda adults, that are Honda adults and Honda gentlemen and Honda ladies. And that's where I have to play both sides of it, where you're like, oh, you Integra, not Integra enough, which I appreciate. I appreciate you being honest. But at the end of the day, they do have their dubs if it's engine development and all that, like the KA. You know, that advancement was so healthy. And people are like, what is this engine? Because it was the H22 that was like the big one, right? And it's no, they got too big. They need to bring it back down. And that just talks about technology and stuff. What's your favorite Honda engine, or what would be your ideal build? You had to pick one. You had to pick one build, engine, chassis, complement. Can I guess?
You can guess.
Can I guess real quick?
You can guess. Yeah.
I think you'd go back to your 96 Accord. You would do a coupe.
94.
You'd do like a two door. Yeah. 94. 90. Yeah. So and with an H22, so it'd be like an of era build. Am I correct?
No, that would be very, very similar to what I would build. And I would make sure the outside was as OEM plus as possible. Like no big wing, just everything like Honda accessories on there, make it nice and clean, maybe a little bit of low, and just under the hood, make it look like it belonged in the car. You know, like I can appreciate, and people ask me this all the time, I can appreciate all builds. You know, guys that have stance, guys that have the camera that goes all the way out. It's not my style, but I can appreciate it. And online, I'll post everything. Everything that just kind of, you know, piques my curiosity, because everyone's an individual. And if we all like the same shit, it would be so boring. Car shows would be one car multiplied, right? So I enjoy that people go out there and like, let's see. So if I put one Civic and I put another Civic on top of it and I drove from the top one, would that work? Hell yeah, figure it out. Like, and I love it. I think it's great that people think so much out of the box and figure all this stuff out. So I like all builds. But yeah, for me personally, OEM plus, very period correct, would be the build I would build for sure.
Yeah. All right. What wheels?
You're
changing them. You could go, because that year Accord in the Mugen, like not livery, but Mugen outfitted with all the Mugen stuff, was kind of dope with the turbo fans and those kind of what model is that? MF1? No. Can't remember the model name. But I know Chris Stewart has this thing.
It had the circle in the circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably I might look for like an accessory wheel, like maybe a JDM accessory wheel that they didn't sell here in America. Something like that would probably be
Renault Bears. We're getting the Renault Bears. We're bringing them back. It's happening.
Please. I know a friend, my friend Keegan over at JDI has a set of Bears and he's so proud of them.
Oh, it's iconic. The strawberry was the real flex too. The strawberries were the hit too. Ooh, wee Rick. And it's so funny how three spokes like went full circle. I mean, Advan, three spokes split. Those were the, Advan. I always say Advan, and the cats at Yokohama were like, it's Advan. You can say it that way. I made it sound more exotic. So the EVs, you said it, you're eventually going to have an EV. It'll probably be a Vision Zero, 2 years. What are you currently driving?
Civic Type R.
Sick.
Yeah. I wouldn't say 2 years for the Vision Zero type EV. My next car, there's a choice of two vehicles. I've never owned an Acura. I've owned 60 some Hondas and never had an Acura ever. So I would buy my first Acura if the new Integra came out with a PMC edition. and Tiger Eye Pearl, because PMC would be a hand-built car in Ohio where they used to build the NSXs. Tiger Eye Pearl would be the color just because it's like one of my favorite new colors. And it would be very limited, probably to 30 to 40 units for the country. I think just the exclusivity of that would be amazing. And after that, most likely it would be the Prelude. In fact, I put my name on a Prelude already through a dealership out in California. So I'm anxiously waiting for that at the end of 2025.
You kind of touched on it, but I kind of want to bookend it here as far as EV, your relationship with it. Never owned one. You've driven them. You've had fun with it. You've kind of, you know, spoken about the whole gambit of what's to come for Honda, and you're close to it. And I love that. And, you know, hence the name Honda Pro Jason. What is your collective thought on the Ford Lightning, the Mach-E, you know, what Hyundai's doing with, Iconic and different things like that. What are your thoughts? Encompassing.
I think they're great concepts. I think they can show that EVs can be fun. They can be performance, because that's what everybody wants now. You know, they want an EV that's going to have lots of performance, lots of fun to drive, because they have to replace their ICE engine that was performance and fun to drive. So I think that direction is the right direction to go. We need to see the infrastructure. That's what everyone keeps talking about. We are not even close to, you know, the infrastructure that says everyone can buy an EV, regardless of the price right now. Like I said at the very beginning of this pod, that I don't know where my nearest EV charger is. Yeah. And if I don't know, I'm sure there's a large percentage of people that just have no idea. They need to be where gas stations are. I need to know that the 5 gas stations I know where they're located around my house also have EV chargers. I need to know that when I drive across the country, that every, you know, minus certain areas, every 5 to 6 miles, there's an EV charger I can pull over and charge my car if I need to. So the length of charging, how long it takes, I have a theory about that. I really think, even though people are getting faster and faster, I think we'll adapt as people. I think our gas station stops will be more like Europe. You stop, you get out of the car, you go inside, right? You have a sandwich, you relax, you talk to your friends, you get some work done. It's an experience that takes a half hour to 45 minutes, but that's how we're going to start moving forward. It won't just be like a fill up real quick, a quick jump to the bathroom, get back in the car, keep driving, which I enjoy stopping. I enjoy relaxing on longer drives for sure. And I'm hoping that that's the way that people are going to start looking at things, more like Europe does for gas stations, which would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. That's the broken record as far as anybody who's a loyalist or who's absolutely, you know, shutting it down. That's the reoccurring theme. The level of conditioning that we need to go through as far as that switch going that way is exactly what you said. It plays into the emotions. And I think that's what we got out of Honda Pro Jason today, was the emotion, Honda, what that brand means to you and to a lot of people, including myself, and what that evolution of that car experience is. Tactile, visual, sensory overload. So when it comes to EV, it also needs to be that experience of filling up or charging, and that it does exist. There are some good experiences, and the infrastructure is getting there. The more we have these conversations, the more it is painfully apparent that the shift is and will happen.
It 100% will. And if you go way back in time, you know, at one point we're all riding horses, right? And I guarantee you, when someone came out and they're like, hey, we're going to do this car thing, everyone's like, are you an idiot? Why would you want a gasoline car? You got to put gas in it. You can't ride it where you want. Like, there's so many negatives to an automobile. We're just going to stick with horses. And they were having the same conversations we're having now. And then as cars became more and more popular, people are like, oh, I guess that kind of does make sense now that I think about it, much like EVs. And now it's silly to even think that we'd get on a horse and go to the store. And one day it will probably be silly to think that we put gas in our cars. We'll be telling our grandkids or our great grandkids, we used to put gas in the gas. No, come on. You never really put gas. Look it up in a book. We used to put gasoline. It came out of a pump. It was a liquid. We put it in cars and drove. That's absurd. And that's how things are going to eventually be.
Yep. Yeah. I had to bring up, what Honda would I build? Thanks for asking. I appreciate that, Jason. Oh, yeah. I would build, I would, and I knew your answer as far as the Accord went, because that plays into your lineage, and that was your gateway. That was your Andre Agassi Air Tech Challenge too. My buddy Sean Hillier, which I'm sure, do you know Sean? Do you know Sean Hillier?
I don't think I know Sean, no.
He's OG Honda guy. He was a OG it's Southern California.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he currently works with Steph Papadakis and his team and the Formula Drift Championship. Cool. But he had the baddest EK. He ended up putting a KA in it, but he had like the backyard special bumper. He had the carbon Kevlar. It was just like the most like road friendly, clean, function as fashion EK. Like, shout out to Sean Hillier and Steph Papadakis and all these true Honda cats that are, you know, moving the needle. Again, Honda's where a lot of car enthusiasts and professionals cut their teeth, because it was a little more affordable, a little more accessible, all those things. So yeah, man. Well, thank you for your time. And again, would love to see you, you know, out in the wild world and see see what you got next.
I travel everywhere. I left Lake Elsinore last Wednesday. I went out to Tail of the Dragon. I drove my car from Lake Elsinore to Tail of the Dragon, left my car there, flew back to California for an event that you just saw called Weenie Fest, which is where you saw that Waggle van. And then making my way down to SoCal, I'm going back up to Morgan Hill today, and then back for an event in Maryland called H Day this weekend, Pennsylvania on Monday, and then back to California again next week. So I'm sure our paths will cross, because I'm everywhere.
Yeah, man. I get it. Well, thank you so much, Honda Pro Jason. Check him out on YouTube, on Instagram, on all the social media networks. Honda Pro Jason. He's selling shirts. He's got himself on it. What's it say on the actual shirt of the shirt? It's so meta. What's it say? In the know, Honda Pro Jason. All right. Well, hey, thanks, brother.
I really appreciate it. Good talking to you too.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Honda Pro Jason. Send it. Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.